Sunday the 30th of October 2022, 10:45 service. Sermon series, Characters We Know. Sermon title, The Prodigal Son. Bible reading, Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 32. Talk by Reverend Martin Court.
This morning's reading is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 15, verses 11 to 32, the parable of the lost son. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him, and he ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to the servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" And this is the word of the Lord.
Well, folks, if I'd known we weren't streaming, I wouldn't have bothered doing my hair. All my jokes today are old, so I just warn you that. Straight away. Okay, this is one of my old jokes. So I come from Devon. Devon, a village. In Devon, every village has an idiot. And I know you're thinking that that's me. But it's not. It's George. And George is working on a building site, walking along. Brick comes from above, chops his ear straight off. He goes up to the foreman. He says, "Foreman," he says, "I was walking along. Brick came from above, chopped my ear straight off." Foreman says, "Don't worry, George. Don't go panicking. We'll go out. We'll find it. It'll all be fine." They're searching around. The foreman picks up an ear and he says, "George," he says, "is this your ear?" George goes over, has a look. He says, "I don't think so." He said, "Mine had a pencil behind it." I wonder if you've ever lost anything we lose things all the time, don't we? We're in this sermon series looking at people in the Bible that we know well today, the prodigal son. In many ways, it's a parallel to creation, the creation story. I'll let you think about that for yourselves. But have you lost anything in your time? In my time, I've lost loads. As a young lad, got my first job, money burning holes in my pocket. Do you remember those days? I would go out and spend it on all sorts of things. I lost a lot, one way or another. I found easy, many, many ways to lose money. Betting on myself at snooker, fruit machines. All that is stupidity, I know, but it all draws you in. A fool and his money easily parted. Drinking, partying. We've all been the prodigal son, haven't we? Not just me, is it? Something I never had back in the day, but they have today. Designer clothes. I mean, they did have designer clothes, but it didn't interest me back in the day. Let's not have a show of hands here, but how many people here are wearing trainers that cost over 100 quid? 200 quid, some of them. Shirts and all sorts of stuff. It's amazing. 25 quid in Tesco is probably cheaper in Primark. We can spend money like water, can't we? All the time I lost my grandfather's ring. This is a replacement for it, this one here. I was given his ring on his death. I cherished it, wore it daily. We had a dog back in the day, long-haired German Shepherd, taking it out for a walk, local golf course, cold autumn day. I had the ring on when I went out the door. I didn't have the ring on when I got home. Must have come off chucking a stick or something. I went back, spent hours and hours and hours looking for it, never found it. But worst of all, was the day that we're on holiday, just outside Bridport. We're in a little place called Ypres. One of the people in the church where I did my curacy in Blandford had a little beach hut, she called it. More like a little house. It had two bedrooms, a lounge that looked out over the sea in Ypres. And Ypres is in a valley, beautiful, no Wi-Fi, no phone signal, out in the middle of nowhere, hardly any people anywhere at all. Up and over one side of the cliff is the port where, I've forgotten the name of it. What's it called? West Bay. Little fishing village. Up and over the cliff, the other side down and then up the other side, is Golden Cap, the highest point in Dorset. And we were there. We're out with our kids. Our kids are about 5 and 10 at the time. Chaz is about 5, SJ about 10 years old. So we're going to go to West Bay. We're going to go up and over. They're big enough now to be able to do that walk. Up and over we go, get down the other side. We have a bacon roll, cup of tea, and then we just enjoy walking around, looking around. The harbour, the boats, the fishermen mending their nets. There are artists selling their wares and all of that sort of stuff. We're just looking around, enjoying it. I love watercolour. I love photographs. All of that is there. And then Julie says, "Where's Sean?" And the stock answer is, "Well, I thought she was with you." But the truth is, we were together. Where's Charlotte? We look around, she's not there, nowhere to be seen. And then you do a quick scan, you look behind the boats that are stored on the harbour, you do a quick search of the car park, look in the, there's a post office news zone, we're looking. The expectation is she'll turn up, but she didn't turn up. Your heart beats faster and faster. All the things that happen to children at the seaside start coming into your mind. Maybe she's trapped somewhere, maybe she's fallen down a hole. I used to work with sex offenders, let's not even go there for that thought. We're not calling her name anymore. We're long past calling her name out. We're organising a search. You go that way, I'll go this way, back in 5 minutes. Nothing. Got to be the worst thing that can ever happen to any parent, to lose your child, to have her there 1 minute, gone the next. 5 years old, vulnerable, your heart is just crying out. You don't have words, your mind racing fast. Friends, Jesus says, but that's how God feels when you go missing. Just let that sink in for a minute. That's how God feels when we get separated from him. By the grace of God, 20 minutes later, some woman comes from under the cliffs with Charlotte in her hands, all is well. But can you understand that feeling, that worry, that longing? Enter stage right, the prodigal son. And here's the madness. He's going to choose to go missing. He's going to choose to go missing. I mean, he's not thinking that. You and I don't think that, do we? We don't think, oh, yeah, let's go. We think everything's going to be okay. It's all going to be all right. Life's going to be fantastic. But the picture that Jesus paints is of him walking away, to some distant, far-off land, we're told. This guy in the parable, this prodigal son, deliberately turning his back on his father, on his family, on his home. Okay, the inheritance is due to him one day anyway, but he's treating his dad as if he was dead already. And then he goes out and he wastes the riches that have been so lovingly accrued for him. Julie and I have a flat in Canning Town. Why? Because it's the kids' inheritance. And we want to do the very best we can for our children, don't we? And so we don't want to lose that. We want to keep that so that we've got something for them. Which of you, if your son asked for bread, you would give him a stone? Or if he asked for a fish, you'd give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give gifts, good gifts to you, those who ask him? Those who follow him, those who love him, Jesus means. And yet so many deliberately turn away from God and chase after the trappings of the world. But what does it profit any of us to gain the world and lose our soul? Jesus asked some interesting questions, didn't he? Folks, three things very quickly that I think we can see from this parable. Number one, verse 12, God doesn't hold back. God doesn't hold back. Here's another old one, but it fits. New vicar visiting the homes of his parishioners, goes to a house, knocks on the door. He thinks he can hear somebody inside, but nobody comes to the door. He's knocking, 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 nothing. So he thinks, okay, I'll leave a calling card. Writes down on the calling card, Revelation 3, verse 20, puts it through the door. Sunday collection, he's going through, counting up the money afterwards. The cards come back, and it's got a little cryptic message on it. Genesis 3, verse 10. He gets out his Bible, he thinks, what's that all about? So he's written Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And Genesis 3:10 says, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, for I was naked. Did you get the creation thing? Did you get the Frank Spencer thing 2 weeks ago? The fact that Frank Spencer was funny because we could see disaster coming. And yet sometimes that's the life that we lead. Even this father, if the father in the story is human, he's not, obviously. But even if he was human, he knows what's coming because he's been there, done it, got the T-shirt. He knows that the son will squander the money. He sees disaster coming. Because that's what teenage, early 20 lads do. They buy flashy cars and they take their wives to their girlfriends to expensive restaurants. Oh no, wait a minute, that's my son. I had loads of money when I was young, when I was a not all of it mine, I fully accept that now, but I had loads of money. I had nothing to show for it. Nothing to show for it. The father of the prodigal knows what's coming, but he gives anyway. He gives generously. He gives everything he's got, simply out of pure love for his son. But what if the dad is not human? What if it is God? What if we are at creation? And what if he's giving you freedom of choice, even though he knows you might squander it? I think that Jesus is showing us some of the hope in God's heart in this parable, that we will come to our senses and return home to him. When we wander off thinking that it'll be okay. What was it for Chaz? I don't know. She was exploring the beach, the sea, watching the seagulls overhead, distracted by the wonders of life around her. No harm in that. God has created an absolutely wonderful life, and we're in awe of it all around. Creation is beautiful. I love it. But the thing is this, God's love for us is deeper than our love for him. Do we know that? Do we understand that? And so Jesus paints this picture of a father waiting every single day at the gate. This is not some coincidence that he just happens to be there the day the sun comes back. He's there every day. Every day. Number one, God doesn't hold back at creation. It was he who came looking for us. Do you remember that? Where are you? And still he does that today. He holds nothing back from us every day by the gate of your life, of your life. Number two, verse 20, God longs for us to come home. While he was still a long way off, the father saw him filled with compassion, ran to his son, threw his arms around him, kissed him. Here's how this works. Does anybody here like fishing? Hands up. Any fishermen? One, two, three. There are a few fishermen. I can't stand it. I think it's like watching paint dry, isn't it? Like, watching cricket. I like playing cricket, but I don't want to watch cricket because it takes all day. I get it. With fishing, I get it. So the husband or the man is getting a little bit of peace and quiet. He's on his own. He's away from everything, all the noise of the house. Or the wife sends him out fishing. Get rid of him. Let her have a little bit of peace and quiet. I understand that. But think of it this way. What would you think if you throw your line in and the fish come to you? That'd be amazing, wouldn't it? Mr. Carp swimming along. Ooh, there's a fisherman's line. Come on, off we go. Ooh, look, a lovely bit of bait. Let's have that. Of course, Jesus doesn't talk about fish. He talks about sheep. And he splits the sheep into two halves. Firstly, scattered. A sheep without a shepherd. A sheep that has no direction in life. A sheep that follows no voice and so wanders at will. You know where that takes you? That takes you into isolation, vulnerable places, unplanned, haphazard living. That's when they start getting their heads stuck in the fence or they fall down a crag or something. That's the prodigal son. He stopped listening to the voice of his father. He's gone off on his own. And now he's a sheep without a shepherd. But then Jesus talks about sheep who know his voice. When I call for them, they come. They know my voice. When I lead, they follow. The very opposite of sheep without a shepherd. Now they have security. They have a path to follow, grass to eat, good watering holes. So what's all this talk of sheep? Well, it's all in the prodigal son. Like the sheep, he's got freedom of choice. But you and I are better than sheep, aren't we? We can make good choices based on outcomes and predicted outcomes. And Jesus paints a really clear picture of an anchor, a fixed place. The farm and the farmer are not moving. They are not going anywhere. And when you pull back the slide to reveal the answer, it's God. It's heaven on earth. The same yesterday, today and tomorrow. God. And when God comes, so comes his word, Scripture. Scripture doesn't change with the whims of our floating life that you and I live in today because it's firm, it's solid, it's something we can build our lives on. Eternal truths that hold today, just as they did 2,000 years ago, because life is life. This center of safety, this provision, this love, this farm where the good shepherd lives, he says. Just moment by moment for some, or every now and again, or even just once in a blue moon. It's different for us all. But Jesus says, once in a while, you're going to wander away. You're going to have free choice, and you're going to make the choice and the decision to go away from that. What happens then? Because we're better than sheep, hopefully we see where we are. But the idea is that being a Christian isn't one way. It's not just the father waiting at the gate. It's the son returning, the daughter returning. We can respond or not. We have choice. What must we do, asked the Israelites of Peter at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit had been poured out. And the Israelites saw that these disciples had something different in life, something better, something that they wanted. What must we do? Repent. Turn back, go home, was the answer. It would be great if the fish came running to the bait, wouldn't it, when you throw your line in. All the fish converge. But a fisherman can no more make the fish do that than God can make you come home. That's your choice. It's your decision. But let me tell you this, God longs for you to come home. And for us, of course, it's not bait. It's all the things that we're told of in the Bible. It's love and security and forgiveness and peace in our hearts. That's what God offers us if we come home. And that's our choice too. But know this, God longs for you. Longs for you to come home. And then lastly, for I must finish. And maybe it's the reason why we don't come home. Do we realize what we have? Do we realize what is on offer from God? For me, the older son is a bit of a pain in the bum. I think he's a bit of a spoiled brat. Did you get verse 12? Did you hear the words of verse 12? I think for years I missed it. Starts off like this. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said, Father, give me my share of the estate. So the father divided his property between the two sons. Did you hear that? The older one's already got it all. He's got his dough. He's got his share as well as the young son getting his. If you want a goat, go and buy one. You've got all the money in the world now. He didn't realize what he had. He didn't realize what he had been given. He was living with everything he had ever wanted. He just didn't know it. And actually, Jesus paints the love of the Father so vividly that we know if the older son had gone to the Father and said, give me a goat, he'd have given him two, wouldn't he? And yet he didn't know it. He didn't know it. Folks, let me finish with this. It's so easy to live in the here and the now. The pressures and the stresses of this life are massive. Costs of living rising. NHS falling apart. This ethos of individuality that makes it harder and harder for you and I to live in a family unit. Talk about sheep without a shepherd. No one to rule over us with integrity. Three prime ministers since Christmas. But think of it also closer to home. How is it in your lives? I can tell you that the leaders of this church have been and are being stretched in every direction. Pressures, stresses, hardships, illnesses, all sorts of things pulling at us. Fighting constantly up against it. But we know this. We know this. God is good. And that will always be what holds us. God is good. We are more than conquerors, says Paul, through him who loved us, for I am convinced neither death nor life, angels nor demons, present nor future, powers, height, depth, nothing in all of creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Folks, it's easy for us to live in the here and the now, and we are all of us, each and every one of us in this room today, under pressure somehow. But we forget what we have been given. We've been given the gift of eternity. We've been given the Holy Spirit to help us out now, here on earth now. We've already received our inheritance. We, like the older son, have been given our inheritance. To help us get through the stresses of life and the living Holy Spirit to journey with us. Friends, God doesn't hold back. God longs for us to come home. I wonder if you're making that move in your own life. Are you heading back to God or are you walking away? Where are you if you stop and think? And maybe this will help. Do we realize what we have? Victory, security, peace. A peace that passeth all understanding. And it's poured out for you just as it was poured out for the prodigal son when he went back home. And the father threw his arms around him. And let me tell you this, the father wants to throw his arms around you and welcome you home too.